Thankful that God has again this side of eternity blessed us with the opportunity that we could assemble together in a fine fashion like this and worship Him in spirit and in truth. We have several visitors among us, and we want you to know that we're thankful that you are here, and it's certainly encouraging to us that you've decided to be with us this morning. We hope that it not be the last time. In Psalm 122, verse 1, the psalmist declared in that passage, he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." This side of the cross, the church is identified as the house of God in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 15, when the Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of God, the pillar and ground of the truth." It certainly does me good, each and every opportunity that I have to be able to assemble with those of like precious faith. And so I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful that Brother Greg and Brother Mark cared enough about me to mention me in their prayers. I appreciate that very much. I know that I need them. In Matthew chapter 10, where our brother read in just a moment ago, we have what is recorded and what is sometimes referred to as a limited commission that Christ gave, and this was to the apostles, and He sent them out to go out and to teach the Jews. And He limited it by letting them know that they were to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew chapter 10, verse number 6. And so it was limited from that aspect. Then when you get to Matthew chapter 28, and a parallel Matthew 28, Mark 16, the Lord again sends the disciples out, but that time it was not going to be limited to just the Jews. It was going to be both to the Jews and the Gentiles. Paul stated very simply in Romans 1 verse 16, when he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And he goes on to say in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." What intrigues me about that is the magnitude of what the Lord was telling the apostles to go and do. You know, sometimes we complain over what God has instructed us to do in the Bible. And sometimes we get very disheartened if we're not careful and very discouraged, and we think that it is just simply too much for us to do. But that's not the case. There's not been anything that God has required of His people, whether it be in the Old Testament or the New Testament, that His people were not capable and able to do. Now I understand that there are times that we are hindered above what is within our reach or our ability to control. And sometimes we're not able to do the things that perhaps we once used to be able to do. But again, there's not a thing that God has required be done that was impossible for His people to do. Very difficult, maybe very hard to do, but not impossible to do. But I want you to think about what God and what the Lord was expecting the disciples to go out and to do. If you notice again in verse 5 of Matthew 10, He says, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, neither scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." You think that would have been easy for the apostles to do, this commission that the Lord is sending them out? Do you think that would have just been very easy for them to do? Do you think that they were met with any opposition along the way? In fact, they were, especially even after the The Great Commission, Matthew 28, we read many examples of times when they were met with opposition. The Lord said, if you go into a city and they won't receive you, they don't want to listen to you, they won't receive your words or that house or city, He says, verse 14, shake off the dust of your feet. Right now I'm working on a sermon that I've entitled, The Feet of Man. What the Bible says about the feet of man. There's a lot of things that we read in the Bible concerning the feet of man. And one of the points that I'm making in that sermon is the fact that we all need to do some feet shaking along the way. There's sometimes when individuals don't want to receive what you say. There's sometimes when individuals, in spite of your best efforts, don't want to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ. It was that way in the first century as the disciples went out to do that. But I want you to know that they did that. They accomplished what the Lord sent them out to do. In Mark 16, verse 15, when the Lord said, go ye and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We know that they did that because the Bible says, if you continue to read it, in Mark 16, that after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Then he says in verse 20 that they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. We know that they did that in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the difficulties, that they were blessed with a multitude of opportunities along the way, weren't they? So much so that Paul was able to pin to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1 at least two times that the gospel was preached to every creature which is under heaven. They went forth and did what the Lord expected of them. This morning, I want us to think about for just a little while doors of opportunity. We've touched on it just a little bit in the Bible class, and in fact there's an entire lesson this quarter in our adult class Sunday morning that is dedicated to as we have opportunity to do good unto all men. We'll talk about that some in the sermon this morning. But I want us to think about doors of opportunity. What do you think of when you think about opportunities? And what do you think about when opportunities arise in your life? Who do you thank for those things? Who do you give credit to when you have opportunity in your life? You know, if you were to look the word opportunity up in a Webster dictionary, this is what it would say. A set of circumstances providing a chance or possibility. And as I was studying for the lesson, thinking about this definition, thinking about the way the Bible uses the word opportunity, which in the King James Version, if you were to look the word opportunity up, in the Bible you'll only find it a handful of times, about five times, is the word opportunity used in the Bible, in that particular version of the Bible. But as I began to think about what the Bible says about opportunity, and I began to think about this definition and how it is defined from the words in which we have it in our English language, I was impressed more and more with the idea and the fact that we've got to be careful when we think about opportunity and we define words. We've got to be careful that we don't leave God out of the picture. Too much, too often is said about chance and, well, that was just coincidence, or, well, I just got lucky about this particular situation. I'm not so sure about that. Sometimes we are quick to leave God out of the equation and we just render everything that takes place in our life as just mere chance or just the luck of the roll of the dice, people may say. What about instead of stopping and instead of saying, well, it was just by chance or, well, I was just lucky, how about saying I was blessed? God blessed me today to have what I had. God blessed me today to be able to go where I've went. God has blessed me today with the opportunity or the chance to be able to do whatever it may be. Instead of saying, well, it was just luck. It was just coincidence. It was just a random draw. Or here was just the various chances. We've got to be careful that we don't leave God out of the equation. I'm impressed from the book of Psalms. How many times The psalmist gives credit to whom credit is due by saying it was God, God's hand, that sustained me through the night. Remember Psalm 3? I lay me down, I wait for the Lord to sustain me. God throughout the Scriptures teaching us a dependence upon Him. Matthew 6, verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. These things shall be added unto you. In that passage he's talking about, don't give any thought for the things of tomorrow. For the things of tomorrow be sufficient, be the evil so forth. In other words, it's God that blesses us to have the things we have. So be careful about that as you're thinking about why is it that I have what I have. It's not by the power, the strength, or the might of our own hands, but because we serve a merciful God who has richly blessed us. Often people say, Donnie, how are you? And I try my best to keep in my mind and often will respond a lot better than what I deserve because that's the way I feel. Even on the worst of days, I am still blessed better than what I deserve. We each are. We need to keep that in our minds. Doors of opportunity. Here's some words in which you would find the original Greek words. Of course, the New Testament was translated from Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar. Rely on help. And so here it is if you want to jot it down and study it further. But you'll find that the word opportunity comes from three Greek words which means an occasion, as in a set or proper time, Galatians 6:10, Hebrews 11:15, or a favorable occasion, Matthew 26:16, Luke 22:6. We'll look at least one of those passages in just a moment. Or to be inopportune, to fail of a proper occasion when it was used in the negative in Philippians 4 and verse number 10. But as you look at these various words, opportunity in the New Testament, this is what it means in each one of the verses in which it's found. Now that's helpful to me because not every opportunity is a good opportunity. In fact, a lot of people took the opportunity to do some really bad things in the Bible, such as Matthew chapter 26, verse 16, when Judas was trying to seek opportunity to betray the Lord. And so sometimes it's used in the negative sense. When people had the opportunity, the set of circumstances or chance that arose, which led to them doing whatever it may be, to do bad things. And the Bible's full of examples of that. Probably the first one, from what I could tell, is used more so in the New Testament than the rest as far as the amount of times that Greek word is found. Now, this is the two times that the English word opportunity is found. The original word is used at least 80 times in the New Testament. But usually it's just in general talking about a set of times or circumstances. And you find most of those in the four accounts of the one gospel. And so I hope that that helps us to think about that as we think about doors of opportunity. Some, again, took the opportunity, such as Judas, Matthew chapter 26, verse 16, beginning with verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. And obviously you remember how the situation unfolds. He did that very thing. Luke 22:6 is a parallel to Matthew 26, verse number 16. Sometimes we read about missed opportunities. If you turn to the book of Acts, chapter 24, and notice, if you will, verse 25. Let's go back and read verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. That's good of him to hear that as we think about opportunity. So here was a man that heard about Paul, and he sent for him, and he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. But verse 25 says, And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. That old phrase, convenient season, in the King James Version, that was actually rendered from this first Greek word, which has meant an occasion or set proper time. In other words, he had the opportunity. Here he was that he had Paul before him, and he wanted to listen about faith in Christ concerning those things. But then he says, go your way. When I have a more convenient season or an opportunity, as it's used in other passages, then I'll call for you. You know, sometimes we can miss opportunities. Be that as it may, that we see the opportunity and we just fail to run with it. Or we just don't have our eyes open to opportunity. If we're not careful, we'll miss opportunities. Sometimes we get so busy in life that we really don't think about opportunities when they arise. But I want you to think about over this past week, how many opportunities come your way, or came your way rather, that you could have done things in service to God. How many opportunities arose this past week where you could have rendered a specific service to God? Now ask yourself the question, did I take that opportunity? Here was the opportunity. I had the ability and the opportunity, and now I have the responsibility to do it. Did I do it? Now think about how many times that the opportunity presents itself, but we don't take the opportunity. And the list could just be endless as to why we miss opportunities or why we fail to take opportunities. Maybe I was tired, I had a long day at work and just didn't do it. Or I felt like I had better things to do. Be careful what you define as being better things, by the way. I need to be careful about that too. Or maybe I feel like I just didn't have time to do it. I was so busy doing other things that yes, the opportunity was there, but I didn't have it. Or I didn't take it, rather. I didn't have the time. A good friend of mine frequently asks a question about when people say, well, I don't have the time. He'll just kindly ask, how many hours in the day do you have where you live? Well, 24. Well, amazing, that's how many I have too. What do we busy ourselves doing? I know we lead busy lives. It's a busy world that we live in, isn't it? Everything's fast-paced. It's always about what you can do and do quickly and get it over with. But be careful as we're thinking about opportunities, that when opportunities present themselves, that we take that opportunity and that we use the opportunities that we have to do the work that God would have us to do. In James 4, verse number 17, therefore to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, what's the rest of that? To him it is sin. And so when we know that we should be doing something, we know we should be doing what's right, we have the opportunity to do it, and then I fail to do it, where does that leave me before God? Doors of opportunity. This was really just a broad topic, and it was very difficult, it could be, to narrow it down to just 4 or 5 points, whatever it is that we're going to look at this morning, because it can be an endless list of opportunities that we have. And the first one I want you to think about is the opportunity to preach. We talked about already thus far, last week and this week in our study on Sunday mornings, the fact that the church has the responsibility to sound forth the Word of God. Jesus gave the command to go, Matthew 28:18 beginning. We know that they went. But the church has a divine responsibility to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. When you look at places like Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, this is not on the screen, some of these are not going to be, but you can turn there and read with me or write them down so that you can study them further. Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11. He says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the fact, the institution of the blood-bought church of Christ. Acts 20, verse 28, by the way, says that the Lord purchased the church with His own blood. Remember that? It's the only blood-bought institution upon the earth today. We ought to appreciate that. Jesus died for us to be able to do the very thing that we're doing this morning. And to be able to be in the body of the saved. Acts 2, verse number 47. But it was to be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. When you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about the fact that by the cross, that Jesus was going to reconcile both Jew and Gentile into one body, having slain the enmity or the enemy thereby. What a blessing it is that we can be in the church today. And then so many people don't want to be members of the Lord's church. Or perhaps they want to be members of whatever else group that there may be. I want to be a member of the body of Christ, don't you? That can make known the manifold wisdom of God. And so the church being upon the earth today, this spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom, established by the Lord over which He rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's ahead of the church. Ephesians 1 points that out. And it's by that that God's wisdom can be seen. And so we're busy about proclaiming the Word of God. That's why we have gospel meetings. That's why we teach and preach the Word of God every opportunity that we have, the radio or TV program, whatever it may be, the bulletin, whatever it may be, Bible class, so forth and so on. In Acts chapter 16, I encourage you to turn there with me as we think about opportunities to preach. And so the disciples, they went out and they preached the gospel. And the book of Acts is a divine record of the fact that they did that. Began in Acts chapter 2 with Peter standing up with the 11 and began to preach about Christ. Nearly 3,000 people obeyed the gospel on that day. Acts 2, 43-42 points that out. So the church began to grow. The disciples began to preach. They were persecuted. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. They continued to teach and to preach Christ from house to house, even in spite of the opposition of the persecution. There was that great persecution and scattering of the disciples that took place in Acts the 8th chapter, but they went forth. The disciples did continue to preach. In Acts chapter 16, begin with verse 1. The Bible says, then came he, and Paul, to Derbe. Remember, recall that by this time, Paul and Barnabas had been sent forth of the Holy Spirit, Acts 14, to go on what is referred to as missionary journeys. And went about preaching to the Jew first. Then it was going to go to the Gentiles as well. The Gentiles actually heard the gospel back in Acts chapter 10 with the household of Cornelius. But be that as it may, then he came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep. Now they went forth preaching the gospel that were ordained by the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith. Folks, it was not established in a faith or a faith of their choice, but they were established in the faith. One faith, Ephesians 4, remember that? The faith, the doctrine of the Lord. In fact, if you go back to a side note on this, to Acts chapter 13, the faith in which Sergius Paulus, a deputy of the country, wanted to hear, but for Jesus, the false teacher, false prophet, tried to turn his ear from hearing the faith, Acts 13, is referred to as the doctrine of the Lord, the right ways of the Lord, in Acts chapter 13. But they delivered these decrees, and the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. When they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Here they were going out on these journeys, preaching the gospel of Christ, and they were not at this particular time permitted to go to certain places. But the places that they came to, that they were allowed to preach in, they preached the gospel of Christ to them. But it says in verse number 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now let's stop right there. I'm going to ask you the question. Had that been you, had you been Paul, which by the way makes a good study, had I been Paul, had I been the Ethiopian eunuch, had I been so forth and so on. But had you been Paul and you received this vision of this man in Macedonia that was standing there saying, come over and help us, would you have went? What would you have done? What would have been your reaction to that? As we think about doors of opportunity, when someone says, and we understand God doesn't reveal things to people today by vision, speaks to us through His Word, Hebrews 1:1-2. The written Word that is sufficient, 2 Peter 1:3. But had that been you, what would you have done? If today you had an opportunity to go and to help somebody learn the Word of God, what would you do? Well, call me. I might have time to do that, son. Well, I don't know if I can. We need to have the attitude, if someone says, can you study with me? You name the time and you name the place, I'll be there. You name it. Because you love them. You have compassion on them. And you're ready to teach them the Word of God because you want them to go to heaven. A while back, a gentleman called me. He said, Donnie, I've obeyed the gospel. And he had a religious background, but he learned the truth. He obeyed the gospel. He said, I've taught my grandfather, who was a preacher in this particular religion. He said, I taught him, and now he understands what the truth is. But if I need your help, and if they're willing for you to come and to preach to them, and things turned out to where he was, the grandfather allowed him to come to that particular religion and preach to the people that was there. He talked about an opportunity. But he said, if things work out where they're willing for you to come and to preach, would you be willing to do it? Well, would I? Told him, you just let me know. You let me know when, and I'll be there. Lord willing. God has blessed us to have the forgiveness of our sins. Washed us in the shed blood of Christ, Revelation 1:7. Don't we want to share, Revelation 1:5. Don't we want to share that with others? Sure we do. But here he was, come and help us, verse number 9. Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. Talk about opportunity. Here's a place that they weren't permitted to go, but now they had the opportunity to go. Verse 10 again, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. Sometimes we pray God for opportunity. Lord, increase our paths. Lord, bless me with the opportunity to go and preach the gospel. Then we have it. We want to be willing to move our feet. Not a shame. Shame on me if that's the way I am. Lord, bless me with the opportunity to proclaim Thy Word to whoever would be willing to listen. And then He blesses me with opportunity and I just want Him all around or drag my feet and not go. Those words shouldn't even come out of my mouth. Immediately we endeavored to go, and they went there and preached the gospel. What happened? What was the result of that? Well, I don't know how things would have turned out had he just not done that, but we know what happened because of the divine record, having been able to read that, and they went, and notice what happened. Verse 14. Or let's go back to 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. That's what happened when they took and ran with the opportunity that God, it was just luck. It was a blessing that God gave him. Luck had nothing to do with it. God blessed him with the opportunity. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse number 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Doors of opportunity. It was God that blessed him with that opportunity. And when you go over to places like 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. There's all kinds of ways of getting the Word of God out today, especially in this modern age we live in with all the social media and all the Facebook and all the various ways to proclaim God's Word. Acts 16 and verses 11 following, we just looked at that. Doors of opportunity. Opportunity to preach. If someone were to tell you, will you come and teach me? I hope that you will take that opportunity to do what you can with the ability that you have, the ability that I have, to do what I can and render service to God. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The opportunities to assemble. We spoke about that some in the Bible class this morning. It wasn't that I was just lucky to be able to be here this morning. I was blessed with the opportunity to be able to be here this morning. Hebrews 10:25. We know that passage. We've talked about it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Consider one another, verse 24, to provoke and to love and to good works. It just seems like that for one reason or another, we always seem to feel the need to qualify verse 25 by saying, but we know that there is such, you know that there are situations. I don't need to say that. Individuals cannot be here above and beyond their ability. But the point is, when you can be with those of like precious faith, be here and edify one another. Just about every place that I've ever been, maybe with the exception of one or two along the way, I don't know. But just about every place suffers from what you think of as being that attendance gap, right? You have the larger crowd on Sunday morning, Sunday night fewer, Wednesday night even fewer than Sunday evening. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I know that. But my point is when we have the opportunity to be here, we need to be here. Support the work. Learn. Encourage one another. Edify one another. Worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4, verse number 24. Every opportunity that we have. Notice I said opportunity, not chance or luck. But every opportunity that we're blessed with to assemble. The opportunity to do good unto others. Galatians 6:10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And there's a lot of ways that we can do good unto others. Paying a visit to someone. Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. James 1:27. Feeding someone. James chapter 2 talks about that. If thy brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart, be warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what profit does it do you? To help someone in time of need. To bear someone's difficult load. Galatians 6:10. Bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. To bear it, to help lift it, carry it for them if need be through that difficult time. Pitch in and help somebody. Maybe a phone call. Maybe a card. Maybe inviting them over. I was just having a conversation a couple of weeks ago, maybe that far back, maybe just a week, with an individual about hospitality. And a lot of times I don't do hospitality because I don't have enough. And the statement that I made was this: it's not always about having enough. It's about sharing what you have and the willingness to share what you do have. It's more about the attitude and the willingness to do it than it is about having what you consider to be enough. But willing to share. When you go back to Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 6, Acts 11, it was about their willingness to no longer call the things that they have as their own, but willing to sell those things if need be so that distribution can be made to those who are in need. And the context determines for us who that's talking about. But that's what he's saying. As you have opportunity, let us do good. Again, if I have the ability and I have the opportunity, I'm to do it. It may be that you don't have the opportunity. It may be that you don't have the ability or that I don't have the ability. But when we have the opportunity, we need to fulfill that and take it. Someone, it may not be a whole lot. Someone may say, do you have some food? I'm hungry. Well, I may not be able to rush out and buy them a big meal that would cost $15, $20 or more, whatever it may be. But you know what? I might have some canned food at home. I might have some things left over from yesterday's meals that you are more than welcome to have. Be willing to share what we do have. Sometimes people may not want that. They may frown upon that. But if they're hungry, they'll be receptive to that and thank God for it. Another gentleman who asked me, could you help with some food? I said, be more than happy to do that. And I told him if he would just wait, I would run to McDonald's and buy a meal. And his response was, well, preacher, we was hoping to have some lease tonight. Well, sometimes people have in their mind what they want and are not really receptive to your help. But I just say that to you to point out that do what you can do with the ability that you have. And the opportunity to do good unto those that you come in contact with. What about opportunities and blessings to grow? We're commanded to grow, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow ye in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9, when he talks about adding to our faith these various things. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith knowledge unto virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, now notice he said and abound, God put them in there first. Add to your faith first. But if they be in you and abound, they shall make you, they shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Opportunities for growth. Sometimes we miss those opportunities to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You look around, there's people here who have been in the church for years and years and years and have a vast amount of knowledge concerning God's Word. When you're struggling with a passage, call one of them up and ask them about it. Say, Larry, what do you know about this? Mark, what do you know about this? Or Willard, It's an asset. Willard, what do you know about this? You've been through those battles and preached the gospel for a lot of years. Or some of these ladies pique their mind about a particular topic as you have opportunity. But the point, opportunities to grow. I hope that we take every opportunity that God blesses us with to do what God would have us to do and be just as spiritual as we can possibly be. Set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Opportunities to edify one another. Romans 14:19 talks about that. Ephesians 4:29, when it comes to our speech, be careful about the way you talk. When he says in that passage, let therefore no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Galatians 6:2, we've already made mention of. Not shutting up your bowels of compassion when you see those who have need. 1 John 3 and verse number 17. Opportunities to edify. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. There's only one way to become a Christian, and that's to do what God said to do to become a Christian. Not do what I think or what you think, but what the Bible says to become a Christian. By hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Repent of your sins. It means stop doing wrong, begin to do that which is right. Luke 13:3, if we don't do that, we will perish. Confess our faith in Christ, Matthew 10:32-33. When that passage the Lord said that whosoever shall confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We've got that great example of a man doing that in Acts 8:37, when the eunuch said, see, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then he was baptized, Acts 2:38, for the remission of his sins. He caused the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized them. They came up out of the water. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. I want you to know that can be you this very day. God has richly blessed you and me with an opportunity to be here. Blessed you, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, with an opportunity to do that this very day, that you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to His church. Acts 2:47, forgive you of anything you've ever done, don't matter how big or how small it is. He will wipe it away. Washed clean in the shed blood of Christ. Are you willing to do that? All things are ready. We'll baptize you into Christ this very hour. Perhaps you're here and you have done that, but you've fallen away and you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been living right like you should. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the gospel call, we bid you come.
Who will follow Jesus?